But anyhow, everybody, as she shares her thoughts with us, run them through your God self. See how they fit. And that's how we learn. That's how it helps us understand our own selves more and more. And this young lady, I can't judge her, but what I know about her life, and it's a good bit because I've known him for a lot of years. I've known her for a while. I won't say how many, but anyhow, I'm eager to hear what her thoughts are going to be tonight. But I admire the way she has worked with her life and the way her children has turned out. So I'm eager to hear her thoughts. And that is our Andrea right here. Beautiful Andrea.
Mm-hmm. 23 and a half years we've been coming here. Yes, my youngest just turned 27. So, and Deborah's son was real little. I expect my children to grow up, but nobody else's are. So their kids just always grow, you know, walking like this. So normally when I talk, it's usually about things that are going on in my life. Tonight's talk is kind of about a healing journey, about something that I went through for many years of my life that I probably nobody knows about me. Now, my children and my husband dealt with it on a daily basis with me, and it was probably just as hard on them as it was on me. And I would say for my kids, they probably are more compassionate and empathetic toward their wives because of what I went through. When I was growing up, I wasn't one of those pretty girls. You know, I had the strawberry blonde hair. I had blonde eyelashes and blonde eyebrows, the ruddy cheeks. I wouldn't even be embarrassed and my cheeks would be flaming red. Where all the girls in school, they had the porcelain skin, the long dark eyelashes and dark eyebrows. Either the blonde hair, but not that strawberry blonde. I was more carrot top blonde, you know, but that didn't really bother me because when I got in junior high school and high school, I found that stuff called makeup. Takes all that away. Except for the fact that my face would be so red and I wouldn't be embarrassed, but then I think people think I'm embarrassed, so now I am embarrassed. And the whole then you get even redder and it's like, but thanks to makeup, don't have to worry about that. But I always kind of felt like the ugly duckling. But I didn't care because I was kind of a tomboy as a young kid. So, ugly duckling, you know, she grows up to be a swan. Who cares, right? It wasn't until I was in my probably early 20s, started becoming obsessed with my weight. My weight got bigger and bigger, and then I'd lose a little bit. I hated myself. I hated the body. How I didn't like my skin. I wanted out of it. I obsessed about it. How could I have this body and nobody could love me? And I remember after the birth of my first son, I had lost all my baby weight. 44 pounds, I'd lost all but 5-10 pounds of it. And an uncle said, you know, if you lost 10-20 pounds, you could get yourself a good job. Well, now, I don't know that I attached self-worth to that, but I'm pretty sure I did. Because I went out and I was looking for a job. And I thought that every time they said no, it had nothing to do with the fact that I wasn't qualified, I didn't have a degree, nor any. I had never done the job, you know. I didn't have any experience. It had to do with the fact that I was 10 pounds overweight. So then as my weight ballooned, I didn't think people would like me because I'm too fat. Nobody's going to hire me because I'm too fat. Now, the fact of the matter was, I was about 20 pounds less than I am now, yet I was too fat. So my life became an obsession with my weight. Every day I got on that scale, and my mood depended on what that scale said. Now, if it was half pound less than it was yesterday, it was a good day. We are having a good mood. Life is good today. But by golly, if it was a half pound more, and my husband can attest to this, the rage would come. It was a bad day. I hate my body. I hate my clothes. I hate life. 10 outfits later, I couldn't find anything to wear. And the hate and the anger. I was so angry with life. I took class after class after class. I couldn't be cured. I was broken. I couldn't see any progress I made because I was so defective. I couldn't even lose 10 pounds and keep it off. I was so weak-willed that every time I lost weight, and I did it, I got down to so bad that I had friends asking me if I had cancer. I got down so low, but then it would come back up because I was weak, because I had no willpower, because I was broken. And I dealt with this for almost 30 years. And the raging that I would do, the screaming, and the hate that I had for myself. But yet I could put on a pretty face and come out and say, I'm happy, I'm loved. But if people knew what was going on inside of me, that just, you can't even imagine the disgust. Well, maybe some people can, because I see some people nodding their heads. And class after class after class and self-help and book, and nothing told me how to fix me. How can I fix me? I'm broken. Please, God, help me, fix me, help me, help. You know? And I was so obsessed with weight. The weight was the problem. I didn't see that there was another thing going on that was the problem. So I remember there was one night I had gone through a life coaching, really intense life coaching series for 2 years. And I got done with that and I thought, boy, you must be a real idiot. You really didn't learn anything. You focused that whole time on your weight. You didn't focus anything else and look it. And I remember I got so depressed and so down on myself, I really started beating myself up. I got out the hammer and I just started going to town. And I broke down. I said, God, I need help. I need you to show me, lead me somewhere. Well, a couple days later, I saw this advertisement for a free workshop for women to learn how to communicate better with your husband and your sons. Had absolutely nothing to do with what I had asked the angels for, but I thought, you know, what the heck, I will do it. I have 4 sons. What could it hurt? You know, maybe I could learn how to communicate with them and then, you know, whatever. So I went. Now, it was in an area town that I'm not comfortable with. I've never really been there, so I really had no idea where we're going. It was at night. I don't go anywhere at night by myself without one of my sons or my husband. So out I go, and about halfway there, I start going, I can't do this, I can't do this. So I pull over, and I'm like, okay, I'm not going. And I think somebody got in that car with me and just drove me right to the place, and on I went. And it was easy. It was nice. They gave information. It was lighthearted, and I thought, wow, this is pretty cool. So I thought, okay, well, free seminar. I signed up for the next seminar. What the heck? It was good. Well, that cost me some money. So I went home and told my husband, I learned all this really cool stuff, you know. And they didn't give you all this information with very little tools, you know. It was just da-da-da. And I thought, I like this. And he goes, well, you know, that's probably not how the next one is. So I went to the next one. The next one, it kind of helped me with a few more tools. And I was like, wow, I like this. And then I went to the next one. And that one was like a full-day one. And that's where I found out in a group of women, I'm not the only broken woman here. All these other women have these same thoughts. And a lot of these women feel the same way about their bodies. And they feel the shame. And they have other things going on. Because what we did was we talked about some of our shames and some of our deepest, darkest fears. And in a group of, you know, 8 to 12 women, you talk about these. But we also talked about this voice in our head. Now, I'd always thought, I was special. I had a voice in my head. Found out everybody has this voice. It's called the critic. And now, she's not your friend. Uh-uh. She is there for self-sabotage. She is there to tear you down. No matter how good you look, you don't look good. No, take that outfit off, just burn it. You might as well burn all your clothes because nothing looks good on you. That talk you just gave, it was so bad. Everybody just laughed and said it was good. Trust me, that's your critic. She is not your friend. But she is the perfect woman who you will strive to be for the rest of your life. And everybody knows who the perfect woman is, right? Yeah, we all know that perfect woman. Now, I guarantee if we all took a survey and we asked for the perfect woman, everybody's perfect woman is going to be different. Because you know what? She does not exist. The perfect woman does not exist, but yet she is the woman that every woman strives to be. The perfect hair, the perfect face, the perfect body, the perfect vocabulary, the perfect job. We all strive to be the perfect woman, and yet she does not exist. That's why most times she sets goals for us, and then she goes, ah-ha-ha, fooled you, goal moved. Ha-ha, fooled you again, that goal has moved. You lost those 10 pounds, well, now you got to lose another 10. You lost that, you got to lose another 10. You made this much money this year? Well, sorry, but it wasn't enough. You still have to make this much. You did this, you know, every time you meet that goal, it's never going to be good enough for her, and she is going to undermine you every time. She is not your friend. And men have this critic, too. Now, I do believe as we get older, the critic does kind of quiet down on their own because we kind of become more confident. But, excuse me. But when we're young, oh, that critic. They are not nice. Now, you want to know the difference between the female critic and the male critic? Female critic, women, we do not compare ourselves to anybody that exists. Our critic, our perfect woman, does not exist anywhere on this planet. Men, however, will compare themselves and emulate people that actually exist. If it's sports, they will find somebody in the sports field that they really admire, and they will go to achieve that. If it's business, they will find somebody that they that actually exists and try and achieve that person's goals, you know, etc. You know what I'm saying. Women, you know, so there it is. The perfect woman does not exist, and that's what we all have striven for. So that was awesome when I heard that this voice in my head was always undermining me. Because you know what? Now I had something. Because then the best thing that I found in that class was they gave me a tool. And it was, tell her to shut up. Tune her out. Start tuning it out because she is not your friend. Well, I have 4 sons. I am the queen of tuning things out. They would listen to the same video 20 times in a couple of hours. Yeah. You know what I'm talking about. I mean, 40 times in a day. I am the queen of tuning things out. If it's an emergency, boy, the ears go up. But other than that, so I got this. So I started doing that. And you know what? Things started changing. Now, I want to tell you what the Bible says about perfection. It says, it is true that the Bible calls us to be perfect as our Heavenly Father is perfect. That's in Matthew 5:48. The Greek word for perfect is teleos. It means brought to its end, completed, or perfect. So to be perfect in this sense is not how perfectionists so often imagine it. Rather, it is to be completed in Christ. Philippians 1:6 says that the completion is the work of God. He created us, saved us, and is faithful to perfect us. So basically, when we achieve perfection here, our work is completed. Off we go. So our critic telling us we have to be perfect, she's kind of just telling us we have to hurry up and die, right? It's kind of like, okay, perfection is not we need to come. The Bible also says that this is not to say that we have no responsibility to grow in our faith. We must cooperate in God's work, His perfection in all of us. We are called to live godly lives. But the focus of the Bible's commands is not on another person's perception of us, as is so often the idol of the perfectionist. So, us striving for that perfection or somebody else's preconceived notion of perfection, whether it's, you know, what was my obsession with weight? Somebody else's preconceived notion of what the perfect weight was. My disdain for my body. So over the last, 10 years? Probably 10 years. I have worked on quieting this critic. And learning to love myself, that's basically what it is. Learning to love all my parts. And in the Bible, God tells us, "For you formed my inner parts." This is Psalms 139, 13 to 15. And "For you formed my inner parts. You knitted me together in my mother's womb. I praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Wonderful are your works. My soul knows it's very well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was being made in secret, intricately woven in the depths of the earth." Jesus, God, whoever you want to say, when we were being woven in our mother's womb, it was perfection. We are each made individually. And where is it? In Song of Solomon says, "You are altogether beautiful, my love. There is no flaw in you." I'm trying to see. I kind of put these all together. God made us all individually, how we are each uniquely supposed to be for us. So my body is exactly how it was made to be. Everybody's body, everybody's hair, everybody's face, nose, whatever. It's exactly how we are each individually made to be, with loving, caring hands. Well, I say hands, but you know what I mean. Just how we're supposed to be. So no more hating myself. I love every bit about it. If, you know, my weight's up, down, whatever. My pants might be tight today, but they may not be tomorrow. Or I just wear another pair. I don't care. Because learning to love myself has changed. It's freed me. It's like I don't have those handcuffs on. And I've let go of so many things. I don't have that anger brewing inside of me. I have more compassion, not just for myself, but when you truly learn to let go of that anger within yourself and that disdain for yourself and that disgust, you open yourself up to loving other people more, because Jesus tells us to love thy neighbor as yourself. And I always used to think, well, what does that mean? Well, I now know. When you love yourself, you are more compassionate toward others because you're more compassionate towards you. You are more empathetic toward others because you're more empathetic towards you. You understand what it means. You don't have that anger inside of you. I don't. I don't have that anger. I used to blow up at everything. I used to feel like I had to control everything. Not just me, but everybody else. You know? Everything had to be a certain way. Now it's like, okay, I like things done a certain way, but I'm not going to freak out if it's not done a certain way. It's like, okay, whatever. I am not judgmental. As judgmental as I am, I'm not going to say I'm not, because I've still got a long way to go. You know, I'm not there yet. Otherwise, I wouldn't be standing here. I don't have to control everything. I'm not judgmental. If people want to do what they want to do, that's up to them. It's not up to me. I don't care. Eat what you want, do what you want, live what you want. That's all on you. I've got to just look after me. Where before, look at them. Well, what are they doing, you know? I used to say, I don't criticize anybody or judge anybody. Boy, yeah, right, I was. I did. Because I didn't want to look at me. But now I ask God, show me. Show me where I can improve. Because I know I need to improve. And you know what? It feels a whole lot better to look at those, show me nicely, instead of the critic bat there going, oh, let me tell you, you know, show me nicely and let me see where I need to improve. And do it with a loving heart. Be good to yourself. And it's opened me up to a whole different level. And it's a different level of loving people. And seeing people in different eyes and acceptance. And it starts with yourself. You know, it's been a healing journey. It was a tough journey. And I had to get there. And for me, it had to be simple steps. And the one thing that I had to do was I had to ask my angels. And I ask my angels every day for help. And I have some people say, oh, I don't want to bother them with this. You know, it's small. But let me tell you something. The angels are there to help us. But because of free will, they can't just come down and start helping you. They want you to ask. They beg us to help. One angel could help everybody in this room, everybody in this neighborhood, all at the same time with whatever problem, big or small. And they wouldn't even break a sweat. So whether you can't find your keys, or you lost the mate to your favorite sock, or your problem is so big that it makes your heart beat fast and makes you break out in cold sweats at night, ask your angels. I had one of those problems that I was in a panic not too long ago, and I went to bed on a Wednesday night, and I asked the angels. I said, I need help with this. Please find. Something had been lost, and it was a priceless memory. It was priceless memory. Photo albums for my work, for my bosses. Post office lost it, I did it. I said, please help us find this. It's been gone for a month and a half. Next day I get a call. I got this notice on my desk that you sent me a package. And I said, yeah, I did, but I was told that it was already down here. He went and found it, and long story short, it was found before 24 hours were up with that prayer. We couldn't have gotten those old. They were of my boss, who's in his 70s, when he was a child, and of his dad and mom. You know? They can help. They can work. And if you ask, but you have to ask. And I ask all the time. No job too big or small. No questions too crazy. You know? And it's amazing how freeing. Look at the parts of you that you're afraid to look at and ask for healing. And if you don't know how to begin, ask for somewhere to go to find the healing, and they will give it to you. And if you're a dunderblock like I am at times, ask for a simple way to do it. And remember to love yourself and to find a way to do that, because that's the only way I was able to do it. And I'm still working on it, but you can ask my husband. I have gotten better. Thank you.
Was that wonderful?
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's called talking from your heart. That's what she did, didn't she? Is that great? Oh, honey. You know, when you can share your thoughts with others, it helps us all, doesn't it? Thank you, honey. Thank you. This is a wonderful world we live in, and none of us are perfect. That we can all learn from each other, can't we?